Jesus was God's son, but Joseph had adopted him. And the thing that we have to realize is that because of what Jesus did, God adopts us as his children too. He can be our father. And what we need to do is trust in what Jesus has done for us, and then we become children of God. So let me pray with you guys, and then you can head out. Father, I just thank you for your love. I thank you that I can call you and we can call you Father because you have made us yours. And it's all possible because of Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Can I get you guys to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1. As we continue in our sermon series based on the Christmas carol, What Child Is This? Today's sermon is called Joseph's Adopted Son. And we'll be taking a look at chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. You'll find this. What page is this in the church Bibles? You have it? 807. 807. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you are able, would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? Matthew 1, 18 through 25, and these are the very words of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. God's word. You may be seated. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear, for sinners hear the silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall pierce him through the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. As those of you who have been with us for the last 3 weeks know, this famous Christmas carol, What Child Is This?, was actually adapted to the tune Greensleeves from a poem written by William Chatterton Dix, an Englishman, in 1865. And this song does pose a very important question worth pondering. Who is this child that was born in Bethlehem? And it poses this question while working through the various stanzas of the hymn. And it's interesting when you go through the hymn, and that's why I read the whole thing to you this morning, to note all the characters who are mentioned explicitly, such as the Christ child, his mother Mary, the shepherds, the angels, even two forms of livestock. While not specifically mentioned, the wise men are referenced by their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. If you have a nativity scene in your home, all of the characters that are in that nativity scene are mentioned except one. Who's missing? Joseph. He's not mentioned by reference. He's not mentioned by name. There's not a single mention in this of the man who would help raise the son of Mary. Everybody else in the Christmas story gets their time, or at least makes a cameo appearance, but not the man who would love and invest in the life of this special child. And we can't know for sure, but it seems to me like Joseph would be okay with this. Seems to me that he wouldn't want a lot of fanfare. In fact, of the four Gospels, Mark doesn't even mention Joseph. Not once. Matthew, Luke, and John all mention him by name. None of them, though, record one word that he ever spoke. None of his words remain in print in the Bible. All we see is his obedience, his care, and his presence. Joseph isn't in this song. Joseph's words aren't in the Gospels. But Joseph quietly was at the manger. He was present before the manger. He was present after the manger. He was present at least through Jesus' 12th birthday, because it's recorded that he and his mother were looking for Jesus when Jesus was 12 and found in the temple debating the scholars of the day. Beyond this account, most historians believe that Joseph probably died somewhere between Jesus' teen years and the time when he began his ministry around 30 years old. But during Jesus' early childhood years, Jesus was not just known as the son of Mary, he was known as the son of Joseph. What child is this? It's a child who was adopted by the father who loved him. Now, don't want to read too much in the text. Why do we say that Joseph adopted Jesus? Well, there are clues in the Bible that mention Joseph that lead us to believe that he did, in fact, adopt Jesus. Let me read again from verses 20 through 25 of that passage that I read in Matthew 1, and I'm going to read with emphasis so that you can hear what I'm talking about. Starting at verse 20, the angel says, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you, Joseph, will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And then, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. See, there are two places in that text that give us clues that although Joseph was not Jesus' birth father, he actually became his adoptive father. And that's in verses 21 and 25. "She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus." And then in verse 25, "And he called his name Jesus." In that culture of that day, it was the responsibility of the father to name the child. And the intention of God, I believe, in sending the angel with this messenger was that Joseph would indeed adopt Jesus as his son and become his earthly father. And so when Jesus was born that night in Bethlehem, Joseph named the child. He named him Jesus. And in that act, adopted Jesus as his own. And although the scripture doesn't tell us if that much that we have surmised is true, then we can picture something else that happened in that culture, and that's what we saw in the video. It was common in that culture for the father to take a newborn baby, symbolically place him across his knees, and by doing so, the first century husband in biblical times was acknowledging that that child was legitimate and his. And for a man to place someone else's child across his lap was to adopt that child. And so although the Bible doesn't explicitly say that Joseph did that, it's highly probable that when he gave him his name, that's exactly what he did. You're mine. God's given him to you. I will be your father, and your name is Jesus. And Joseph's wife, Mary, certainly viewed her husband as Jesus' father. You remember when Jesus was 12, the family had been in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. They were heading back now to Nazareth, and they realized that Jesus wasn't with the clan. So they rushed back to Jerusalem. They found him talking with the teachers in the temple. Listen to what Mary says when she finds Jesus and how Luke identifies this couple. This is from Luke 2:48. When his parents saw him, okay, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." See, Luke identified both Mary and Joseph as Jesus' parents, and Mary calls her husband Joseph what? Jesus' father, your father. It was clear, I think, from Scripture that Joseph had adopted Jesus as his own son. This is how Jesus was known even into adulthood. And we see clues of this in the Gospel of John. First of all, when Jesus calls the other disciples to follow him, and then later in his public ministry. Listen what happened in John chapter 1, verses 43 through 45. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, who? Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." We can skip over little phrases like that, can't we? Or how about later in the Gospel of John, John 6, 41 and 42, "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I'm the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?'" See, everybody who knew Jesus recognized him as Joseph's son. Joseph had adopted Jesus from day one. And so the answer, at least part of the answer to the question about what child is this, some of the characteristics of this child, I think we can find even in his father Joseph. This child is the one whose father adopts us and names us as part of his family. Just as Joseph did for Jesus, that's what our father does for us. Paul himself writes about this characteristic of Jesus, who would grow from that baby in the manger to the God who was willing not only to die for the rescue of his creation, but in cultural language, to lay people across his knee and to call them his as he purchased them from the slavery of sin and Satan and death and hell. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive what? Adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. Personally, I'm afraid that adoption is one of those benefits of the Christian life that is most terribly overlooked and undervalued. In regeneration, in the new birth, God gives us spiritual life. In justification, he gives us a right standing with him by declaring us righteous. But in adoption, he makes us members of his family. We're his children. It is adoption that gives us the incredible privilege of calling God Father. And to relate to him that way as a good and loving father. And the fact that God relates to us as Father shows us, number one, that he loves us, and number two, that he understands us. Listen, 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. Or, all the way back, Psalm 103, verses 13 through 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As an aside, that is a verse to claim so that you know you're not disappointing God. He knows who you are. He knows your dust. He knows you're weak. He knows your needs. And he shows compassion on us. As a father, he takes care of all of our needs. Isn't that what Jesus' point was in the Sermon on the Mount? You're worried about what you're going to eat. You're worried about what you're going to wear. Come on. God feeds the birds. He feeds the weeds of the field. You don't think he's going to take care of you? Of course he does. And he gives us good gifts. Isn't that also what Jesus was saying? We ask for something. Our earthly fathers who are sinful, they do the best they can. They're not going to give us a serpent. They're not going to give us a rock. How much more will God not give you good gifts? And he gives us a great inheritance in heaven because, as Paul said in Galatians 4, we're no longer slaves. We are heirs. An heir does what? Receives an inheritance from God. It's ours. What kind of inheritance? Peter says it's imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven for us. And our relationship with God as his adopted children is what allows us to pray, Our Father. And in that relationship, what does he do? He grants us forgiveness. And as the adopted children of God, we also have a very, very special privilege. And I think this is kind of a plug for Anne's Bible study. And that is that we've been given the Holy Spirit who leads us. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And though we may not recognize this as a privilege, as his children, we're also subject to his discipline. We know that just as earthly children grow in obedience and righteousness when they're disciplined properly by their earthly fathers, we also grow in righteousness and holiness when we are disciplined by God our Father. Listen to what Hebrews said. My son, don't regard, or the writer of Hebrews, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. What child is this? He's the one who makes adoption into his family possible. And adoption leads to our salvation. And salvation is what includes freedom from sin. And that's what, remember, Joseph was told to name his adopted son. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And there's a reason that you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means God saves. What God saves, he adopts as his own by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the full passage from Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified in him. You know, Paul goes on to write about our adoption in Ephesians, where he says in Ephesians 1, God the Father predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. You realize that's what God was up to make us his. And by the way, the word here that I am translating in the ESV translate sons is children, sons and daughters. And after our adoption into the family of God that Jesus makes possible, the Bible tells us in due time, he's going to give us a new name. Listen to what he says in Revelation 2. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it that no one knows except the one who receives it. That's adoption language, people. And it includes the responsibility of a father to name his child. What child is this that we're celebrating this time of the year? It's the one who enables our adoption into God's family. The one who will give us a new name to those, all of us, who become part of that family. These are the characteristics that we see in Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. These are the truths and the responsibilities of the one we celebrate who was born so that he could die on a cross, leading to his resurrection and the defeat of sin and death. It is that victory, it is that life that enables us to be adopted. It is that victory, it is that life that enables us to call upon the name of the Lord and to become his children. That is the ultimate answer to the question, what child is this? He is Jesus, the Son of God, the adopting and naming God, who sets us on his knee and calls us his sons and daughters and enables us to be part of his family and to have a new name. How did he do it? John tells us, to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to be children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. That's the story we share. That's the truth of Christmas. That's the meaning of this season. That's the answer to the question, what child is this? Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we just are amazed that you would care so much for us to make us your sons and daughters. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for really the unspoken, the untold story of a faithful man, Joseph, who takes that child and says, I'll care for him. As the video said, he's just on loan to me. But I also thank you, Lord, for the truth of what does that child look like? He looks like God. For he is God. Thank you for his saving work. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.